Hello, fine folks of the internet. Welcome to Turnbuckle Boogie. We're switching roles today. It is I, none other than professional wrestler and Vegas trainer, Cutthroat Cody Hancock, accompanied by my man buddy friend pal, Timothy Styles.
Yeah, man.
Nice little fun swap today. And we have a fun show for everybody. And we're just going to basically talk shop about good old pro wrestling. So if you want to support the podcast for right now, rate and review on your preferred listening platform. Follow the page at Turnbuckle Boogie on Instagram. And be sure to stop by cutthroatcody.com. And you can find all my social media links there. And without further ado, let's shut up and
boogie. Sorry, I wasn't expecting you to do that.
Why expecting me to do what? Hand it off to you?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sorry. Oh, let me do it properly. Let's boogie.
It's so hard having me start off because then I don't know what to do.
The entire rhythm of our show has been completely collapsed here. So, hey, everyone. I don't want to do a whole new intro. I feel obligated to do an intro anyway. So, hey, everyone. This is Timothy Styles. And, I'm doing the intro again.
Fuck it. Why not? We got two intros today.
God damn it. So, I wanted to start today's show off by... there's a couple things I wanted to bring up. We'll see if we swing around to one or the other. But first thing I wanted to mention is that for the first time, I think ever, I watched this week because, you know, in the previous weeks, I have been a little sour on the WWE. And unfortunately, I was not watching AEW. So when the bulk of American pro wrestling makes you sick, and then you have to then go and do a professional wrestling-based podcast, you know, it's like we're digging into the history of it or into the culture of the indies or whatever. And so I thought I would remedy that this week. And this week, I watched Monday Night Raw. I watched NXT. I watched... Friday Night SmackDown. I also watched AEW, and just for good measure, and because it's probably my favorite, I watched a little New Japan Pro Wrestling. I have not done this ever.
I'm so blown away because I know that, and I agree with you from time to time, and I can tell you this much right now, you watched a hell of a lot more wrestling than I did last week just because I was moving all week.
Now, do you count the wrestling that's happening when you're training? Because technically that's wrestling.
Well, you know, I'm always watching old stuff anyway to bring to class. Like, I've been watching old Lucha. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like Dos Caras and Mil Mascaras and Kinect and people like that.
Right.
To find, like, fancy things to bring to the school as far as, like, chain goes and stuff like that. But I always get my summaries and my news, like a lot of other people, through the internet. If I hear about something that I need to see, I'll see it. But I'm super excited because DirecTV came packaged with our new apartment. So I convinced my fiance to pay for the $10 a month to get the DVR set up so I can actually record AEW and I can actually watch Raw and I can watch SmackDown and I can have them on my DVR and not have to worry about streaming services or anything like that.
Because absolutely.
Our internet isn't too good right now.
Well, I'll say this. I watched Raw on Hulu, which cuts that show in half.
Yeah.
It takes a three-hour program and whittles it down to an hour and a half. And believe it or not, in an hour and a half, still a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I don't know how they do it. But so here's my brief book report. So the reason why I wanted to watch it ultimately is because fans were back in the building.
Yep.
And I openly will say that this Thunderdome era, the COVID era of wrestling, sucks.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yes.
I mean, all of it. You know, you can make little exceptions for certain things, but by and large, you know, I've always said it that professional wrestling is all about smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
You know, it's a magic show. Just the magic is two guys beating up on each other.
Yeah.
But one of the biggest mirrors, the biggest mirror is an involved audience.
Yes.
So when you're forced to strip that away, I mean, you are watching two people fake fighting.
Yeah.
And it's much harder to hide some of the baloney.
Right.
When there's, you know, no people there.
And not to mention that it's not only hiding the baloney, but they tried to come up with clever ways to protect their people, but still have them do, you know, stunts. And they came off as such, like, stunts.
Right.
You know, the hand of the camera moving away the table from Hell in a Cell, you know, thinking that the bump didn't have to be seen because they did a camera cut and things like that.
I don't know what you're talking about. What
that
happened?
One. So there was a Hell in a Cell, I believe. I saw the clip where there was a table bump, but you physically didn't see the wrestler go through the table. But then you saw when the camera cut down.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. So yeah. They showed him going up and over.
Yes.
And it's like, holy crow.
Yeah.
Man. And then it showed someone's hand throwing out chunks of table.
Yep.
You know, after having pulled in a crash pad.
Yeah.
You know, it's stuff like that, you know. Say what you want about Jim Cornette, but he's right about this. When you take away the live aspect of this stuff, you're missing the point.
You not only are you missing the point, but you can't replicate it either.
Right.
Like, and that's the that is the beautiful thing about pro wrestling is that it is made for a crowd. And if anybody wanted to figure that out, man, we figured it out within the last year.
Oh yeah, yeah. That like I've said before. The COVID did pro wrestling zero favors. I mean, some things were really bad.
Yeah.
You know, AEW was wise and decided to have their staff and roster and probably a handful of people out in the audience just to get something.
Yeah.
And it gave it more of a Fight Club feel. And that's fine. That'll do.
They did what they could with what they had.
Right. I think NXT had a good idea, but I don't know how great the execution was because they also sweetened it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one thing to have like a wrestling ring in a miniature hockey arena.
Yeah.
It's another thing to put fake voices over the top of it.
And that's also, I think, for me, the biggest problem with WWE in general is they've been piping in noise anyway.
Right.
But
well,
now
that was just NXT. Now I was getting to Raw and SmackDown, which, you know, they were doing these empty shows. And quite honestly, WrestleMania 36 was one of the shittiest things I'd ever seen.
Yes.
I literally walked away from that thinking, was wrestling ever good? Which
yeah.
is not good if
right.
you're a wrestling fan. Like the when you walk away from something going, was this shit I've been into for 40 years ever good?
Right.
You know, that's how it's not that it was all bad. There were a couple of good matches in it.
I just think for me, my audio level's coming in okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I think for me, the Boneyard match was just something that my fiance and I watched that.
Right.
And when it stopped, I know that we kept the PlayStation 4 just on.
Right.
And we just kind of stared at the TV for a pretty long period of time and then looked at each other and it was like, that wasn't wrestling.
But here's the funny thing. I forgave it a little bit because it's not completely off the path of what WWE has done in the past. If you remember
yeah.
like the Boiler Room matches and,
right.
you know, Bury It Alive, even though that stuff was done in front of a crowd.
Right.
They're prone to doing some of these sort of wacky things. At least you saw a couple guys throwing some potatoes.
There was aspects of it that were good.
Sure. But it was clear that it was a 12-day shoot.
Yeah. And that and I
or
think
or not 12-day, 12-hour shoot.
Yeah, and once again though, like when we talk about pro wrestling,
Right.
You know, like, is that pro wrestling?
In my personal opinion, no. And yeah. Trust me, WrestleMania 36, night one, I was like, well, whatever, you know, because the first match was Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte. And I walked away from that one going, pretty good.
A good match.
These chicks were getting at it, bro.
Yep.
But night two was where I really walked away going, what the fuck happened? Yeah. Because, you know, they kept promoting the entire time, that's a Firefly Funhouse match. And I was like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
And you saw it, I'm sure.
Yes.
And it's the fucking, it's the worse than, you remember that old WCW movie that was a promo for whatever it was, Bash at the Beach, where the fucking midget.
Thunder in Paradise? No, that was the series.
But, no, there's a movie made by WCW, like a 30-minute movie or something, where, I don't know, Sting is on his way to Bash of the Beast or whatever it was, and he's on a boat, and a midget with a shark fin on his back puts blows the boat up. It's the most stupidest fucking thing you've ever seen. And historically, it's been remembered that way. But for some reason, the WWE, I don't know if they have a selective memory, or they just have their heads up their fucking asses.
Right.
They're like, you know what we should do? This Firefly Funhouse, I'm using bunny ears here, match.
Yeah.
It was a Frank Zappa movie.
Yeah. And there was aspects that I thought were good of that too. But once again, there it's was not wrestling.
There was zero aspects of it that I thought were good because there was physically no wrestling.
Right.
It was a series of clips where they went to the WWE's warehouse and pulled out, like, hey, look, there's the big fist from the SmackDown set. Let's pull that out and do a whole SmackDown theme exchange.
Yeah.
It had zero story. It made zero sense. And it was just them dicking around. And at the end, it was over. And then it cut to Titus O'Neil, who was going,
Yeah.
Even he was like, I don't know what he literally says. I don't know what I just saw. You know, they promoted it as the Firefly Funhouse match. There was no match.
Right.
There was no ref. There was a ring there, but they were just standing in it, goofing off. I cannot say this enough. I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
I mean, I really hated everything about it. Like I said, the minute it was done, I was like, I really questioned, like, fuck it. Everything I ever liked about pro wrestling, was it all stupid?
Yeah.
You gotta be kidding me! The audacity of a man, the audacity of you, Cody, to return like that! You have been gone for 5 weeks while I've been here doing the work, being undeniable! Oh my God, the audacity of Cody! What kind of man sends another man to do his work? Did you see what I did to Dustin? Did you see what Anna Jay did to Brandy? What kind of man, Cody? What kind of man lets his wife post Instagram thirst traps while calling me daddy? What kind of man stays away in a little bubble? A man like you, Cody. But you are no man. You are a coward. Give me that silver. Give it to me. Get the hell out of here. Cody, you can run on for a long time. But sooner or later, Brody Lee is gonna cut you down. And I am gonna take this dog collar, Cody. I am gonna wrap it around your neck. I am gonna wrap it around that godforsaken tattoo. And you, Cody, will have nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. You, Cody, you have 1 week to answer me. Are you a man or are you a coward?
You know, it made me, that's how bad it was. It made me feel dumb.
Well, you're not dumb. Number one.
That's the funny part. I know that.
Right.
You know, but so COVID really did no favors for the WWE, you know, on Raw and SmackDown. They eventually got wise and went, we're going to do the Thunderdome. And that was a good idea, but it's not like they used the audio of all those people sitting in their dorm room eating Cheetos.
No.
No. What they ended up doing is just using sitcom audio clips.
Yep. Which we
cheers,
all...
Cheers, yeah. Booze, you know, chants. Yep. Including fake chants is so insulting to one's intelligence. Especially knowing... You know, the last 10 years have been a real struggle for WWE fans because they go, you know, dating all the way back to John Cena. Hey, here's John Cena. He's a big superhero. And everyone just goes,
Yep.
You know, if John Cena were coming up now during that COVID year and a half, whatever it was, he would come out. There would be no let's go Cena. Cena sucks. It would just be. Hooray! The hit the cheer button, you know, sound.
Yep.
And you would, and this is how I felt watching it. It's like I feel stupid watching this.
Yeah.
No offense to the WWE, they were trying to do what they thought they could do.
Yes.
To make their program survive, I understand and I forgive their transgressions, but God, dog, was it hard to sit through.
Yeah, it was. It really was. But I think that coming out of it now, there is an element of excitement despite the fact of the Delta variant going around of the good old COVID-19 gimmick.
Right.
And not going to get too far into that can of nuts, but people just want to be back outside.
You know? I mean, we all do.
Yeah.
You know, here in Las Vegas, they've sort of reinforced the mask mandate.
Yes.
For, I don't know the specifics of it because I went into some businesses a couple days ago. Some had signs on the door saying if you're vaccinated or not vaccinated, put on a mask. And some didn't. So I don't know. So time for me to continue to be wise and,
yep.
and bring the hand sanitizer, not, you know, loosen up despite the fact that I had COVID at one time and got vaccinated after the fact.
Yep.
You know, I recently returned, we're not going to continue much further with this conversation on this, but I just quickly want to mention, I just returned from Antigua.
Yes.
And I was going out there for a week specifically for a wedding. My wife and I, days before the wedding, went to a bachelor/bachelorette party with the bride and groom and everybody. And, you have to get tested before you can leave the country.
Yeah.
So we did get tested after the fact. And we passed, but do you know who didn't pass?
No.
The bride and groom.
Oh, no. Oh, no, dude. That is heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching.
Well, turns out, with all due respect, because I do like these people, but anti-vaxxers.
There you go.
So, look, everyone has a knucklehead friend or two.
Yeah, man.
And I'm not going to say that these are them, but... Look, if you're going to book yourself a wedding outside of the country, but you're not going to get vaccinated, yeah, I suppose you deserve it a little bit. So they didn't get to go to their own wedding. They had to reschedule, and I went and had a hell of a time.
Well, as long as you had a good time on the trip, man, I think that's all that matters.
But so I watched the show, and I really Raw and SmackDown and NXT, AEW, and, you know, AEW, I got to say, you know, when I first started watching it, the first initial weeks... It's not that I wasn't impressed because I could see right away, like, oh man, they're letting them do the bullet point promos, you know, and they're letting people who are good at it, you know, Cody Rhodes is going out there and
MJF.
Cutting great promos, MJF, Chris Jericho's not too shabby, John Moxley's I knew he was badass from his Dragon Gate days.
Yep.
you know, and... But it was clear to me that for every person who was an A-caliber talent, they had a few Fs in their talent roster.
Yeah.
And I don't need to name any names, but, it is what it is. But I watched their show this past week, and I did not see those F-level quality characters on that show.
Right.
It was nothing but, you know, great people across the board. And I went, I knew it. I knew if you gave them enough time, they would sort of weasel those people to maybe their YouTube show or whatever it is. All no disrespect, but that's where you belong. You should be happy that you're getting money. You know, you're getting a living, but some of these cats need to go back in the oven.
Yeah.
And they've replaced them with characters who were, you know, from the WWE specifically, you know, Andrade El Idolo and, you know,
Miro.
Yeah, Miro's there and
Pac,
you know, it's a fantastic roster that they have now. And that show was pretty fantastic and that crowd was white hot. It was a great show. I wasn't super over the top about the Texas Death Match, you know, because I think certain elements of that, you know, my opinion on that, I don't need to go back into that. But other than that, great show across the board, you know. NXT I also thought was okay. Raw and SmackDown there was a little bit perplexing about it.
Yeah.
Because they had the audience, and the audience, it's like if you're a comedian and you just get an entire audience full of Australians. Australians laugh at fucking everything.
Yeah.
These people were just into everything. They didn't care. If it was a dumb character, they didn't care.
They just want to be outside.
Right.
Yeah, they just want to be outside, man.
It seemed like everyone had a great time. But there were a couple things that I thought were mildly head-scratching, and they kind of made these sort of news rounds this week.
Yeah.
One was Keith Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Who is was an indie favorite, you know, from his PWG, you know, time and is for some reason is off camera for the past seven. Like no one knows where he's been or what he's doing.
Yep.
But he had not been on television in 7 months.
Yeah. He started out kind of out the gate really hot.
Yeah. They brought him, to what was it, Raw, I think.
Yeah.
And he was a main event player.
Yeah.
And then it was reported, I suppose, that, you know, Vince McMahon wanted all his big guys to work like big guys, and Keith Lee moves a bit like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah.
You know,
which kind of is, in my opinion, his allure. Like, right. That's like, that's what makes him unique. But, right. You know, can't have that, pal.
God. Damn it.
Yes.
I love my Vince McMahon impression. It's just, God damn it. Now I need to get me a chicken Caesar salad pronto. God damn it.
I don't know what a burrito is.
But Keith Lee comes out to challenge the champion. He hasn't been seen in 7 months. And people go apeshit. Like, holy shit, there he is. Hooray. He gets beaten in short fashion.
Mm.
And then just slinks out of the ring while Goldberg comes out.
Perfect. Did they play the old, like, Lou Ferrigno Incredible Hulk theme while he was walking off into the sunset?
They should have.
Mayhaps.
Did it sound anything like Goldberg's entrance music? Because that's what was playing.
Yep.
So it was a head-scratcher, like, oh boy. And then the other thing that happened, I think on the same show, or maybe it was SmackDown, I forget.
I think it was Raw.
Karrion Kross, they promoted it throughout the entire show. Karrion Kross, the NXT champion, is making his debut tonight.
Yep.
And he finally comes out. And, you know, a lot of nerds are talking about he didn't have what's-her-face with him, Scarlett.
Yes.
And they just cut to him. He didn't get his entrance music or any of that stuff. By the way, two things I don't like about Karrion Kross.
Right. I know that you're not a fan of the pageantry.
I'm not a fan of that specific pageantry.
Yeah.
But he's going to go against Jeff Hardy, who has been, we'll say, not protected over the past few years.
Dogged out.
And, he loses to Jeff Hardy in a few minutes.
And there was a promo afterwards, though.
Yep, there was. Well, here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
I saw it for what it was. I go, he's going to be working with Jeff Hardy probably right to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So I kind of saw it for what it was. But fans, you know, the internet nerds are like, oh, I can't believe that they blah, 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 you know.
Right. And then the other theory is heat, that he possibly upset one party while another party favors him and yada, yada, yada.
That's a funny thing. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I just think that it's just very apparent that they have a plan and it's not going to be found out until it happens. Do I agree with the way that they set it up? If you want to diminish your other brand in NXT by having that happen to your champion, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just my opinion. And, you know, I'm very proud of Kevin and I'm happy for Kevin. And I have no doubt in my mind that he'll be fine. But at the same time, it was extremely confusing.
Yeah. And so much, in fact, that I got a...
Karrion, I should say. Karrion, not Kevin.
Yeah. Big Kev.
Yeah.
I got a random phone call, as I do almost every day, from comedian James Mattern out in New York, a buddy of mine.
On the streets.
Yep. That's the way it goes. Yep. Those voicemails that I put on our show every week are the exact phone calls I get every week. T, let me tell you something.
Hell yeah.
Hello, Turnbuckle Boogies. It's James Mattern. I'm in the mean streets of the Upper East Side. It's late hours in the Upper East Side. I might get mauled by an old lady named Gladys. It's going to be tough, boys. It's going to be tough. Look, man, can we just discuss? You can't defend WWE anymore. You can't. It's the same match every week. Everyone just wrestles each other every week, and the goddamn announcers try to tell you that it's special. It's insane. This week, it's never been done before. Tamina and Natalya versus Nia Jax and goddamn Shayna Baszler, but this time the referee's wearing white shoes. Never before, white shoes referee with this tag team matchup. We'll be back after the break. Who gives a shit? Are you out of your goddamn mind? Oh my God, Humberto versus Sheamus. But the winner this week gets to eat carbs after. Kiss my ass. It's a never been done before carbs match. The winner gets carbs. Shut up every week, every week. It just reminds me when I was a broke kid. Hey, here's white toast again. White toast with butter, but we might put a little brown sugar on it this week. It's still white toast with butter, goddammit. I'm done. Mix it up, baby. Give me something. Give me something different. Have Humberto take on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler and let him eat carbs while he wrestles them. That's a match I'll watch. Let's do it and let him wear white shoes instead of the referee. It's unbelievable. Mix it up, goddammit, WWE. All right, Turnbuckle Boogies. I'm going to go hang out now with an old lady named Gladys. Upper East Side for life, baby. Late.
He's like, he made a comment to me, and he said, the WWE wonders why they're just bleeding ratings with stupid fucking booking like this. And for a few minutes, I played devil's advocate because I said, yeah, they're bleeding ratings, but who fucking cares? And he's like, you know, he's trying to talk about it, but the reason why I said who cares, because it's all that people who talk about Dave, Brian Alvarez and Dave. Why can't I think of Dave?
Meltzer.
Thank you. Brian Alvarez and Dave Meltzer.
Brian and Dave.
That's all they talk about every fucking week. Here's the ratings this week. And it's like, why do we care about fucking ratings?
Right.
You know, and to the point of where even AEW acknowledges it, you know, with Chris Jericho, I'm the demo god. It's like, and I told James, I was like, dude, I said, ratings don't matter. No matter Brian Alvarez or Chris Jericho or anybody else who brags about it. I said, sorry, you have a thought you want to squeeze in?
This is why ratings matter to them, was because after the Monday Night Wars and every single documentary,
right,
the one thing that nobody was ever hearing about as it was happening was the ratings.
Right.
But the one thing, looking back in retrospect, whenever they talk about that.
Yeah, they can document it.
Looking back in retrospect. In retrospect, they can document it. They can say this, this, and this, and this. That's what made ratings matter. Right. Because it never fucking mattered before.
It didn't matter during the Monday Night Wars because you knew firsthand which show was good and which one was bad. If you watched Raw 1 week, you'd go, hey, that was pretty good. I'm going to watch next week.
Yeah.
Or this is terrible. I'm going to watch WCW.
And then you watch
WCW and be like, well, that was pretty good. I'm going to keep watching this. Or it was bad. I'm going to watch WWE next week.
And then there was people like me who had two VCRs in two different rooms and they were recording and I would watch them all.
Right.
You know, so go ahead and get back onto what you're getting onto because this is important.
But the point I was getting at, this is something I tried to tell James because I was like, I was tired of hearing about it. You know, for some reason, there are people who worship Dave Meltzer and the shit that he reports on.
Mm.
And quite honestly, the shit that he reports on, I find is just common knowledge stuff. Anybody can find out what the actual gate was at so-and-so stadium or arena by calling. That's all he does, respectfully. He gets a little bit of inside knowledge from you know, people on the down low in various companies. But all that stuff is hearsay and rumors until it actually becomes tangible or a reality.
Yeah.
Really, a lot of times what he's reporting is, oh, here are the numbers. And it hasn't caught on with these people, Brian Alvarez, Dave Meltzer, and the Wrestling Observer Live people, with all due respect, because I do like listening to Brian Alvarez. I think he's funny. But they constantly report on ratings as if they're important, and it's like, who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Most people don't watch live television. That's why the ratings are so low. That's why Jim Cornette is wrong about things being terrible because fucking, you know, ratings don't matter. No one watches live TV. Like I said, I watched everything on Hulu this week with the exception of AEW, which I watched live because I have no choice but to.
Yeah.
And, you know, the real – and I try to tell this to James, you know, and he tries to stand up for it, and I broke it down like this. I said, hey, look, over the past few months, I've not watched one episode of Monday Night Raw or SmackDown, and to maybe a lesser extent, NXT, because I really fell out of love with what the WWE had become in the COVID era.
Mm-hmm.
But to be quite honest, I've watched all three of those shows every single week. The reason why is because the Turnbuckle Boogie account is attached to my phone. And I watch it clip by clip.
Yeah.
You know, that shit comes on and I stop.
Almost everybody digests their media now.
Correct. And I said, I bet you I've watched every week when Raw's or the WWE social media team puts a series of clips of what happened on, you know, that week's Raw. You end up watching a dozen of them, and I'm able to tell you everything that happened on that show without technically having watched that show. So have I technically not watched that show? I don't think so.
Exactly.
You know, I wouldn't say I'm a big fan of it, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, and I brought up a point to him. I said, because he was like, the WWE's in trouble. They're going to lose this ratings war. I was like, they might, but not really, because they're social media dwarfs every other professional wrestling's social media numbers combined.
Mm-hmm.
They invested so much money in their social media team because they know that is where the real money is at. They don't give a fuck. Why do you think they still do a 3-hour show?
Yep.
Because who fucking cares? It's just content that they're providing for their social media platforms,
yep,
which before you watch every one, there's a fucking ad.
Yep.
You know, so weekly Nielsen ratings, which Nielsen is a joke, let's face it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mean anything. In fact, I looked into it and I wrote down the numbers and I want to share with you just Instagram. I wrote down the Instagram followers of AAA, well, single A companies like the one you're in,
mm-hmm.
all the way up to AAA. And I kept it to just American companies, no New Japan or AAA or any of that stuff. So, and we'll play a fun little guessing game here,
which I'm going to be too terrible at, but let's go.
Well, that's fine.
It's going to be fun.
How many followers, this is just Instagram, no Twitter, do you think FSW has? Las Vegas-based promotion, the single A promotion out here in Las Vegas that you're a trainer at and is very good. But how many followers do you think they have?
I'm hoping 5,000.
6,548.
I'm okay with that.
As of this broadcast.
There we go. Let's make it more, guys.
For a local thing. Yeah, folks, yeah. Follow FSW if you're in Vegas. And if you're
Future
not in Vegas.
Future Stars of Wrestling LV.
Yeah, man. You get to see pictures of Cody flexing and sticking his tongue out for some reason.
That's me.
Yeah. All right. Now, here's another single A promotion and one that I hear is coming to Vegas soon. GCW, Game Changer Wrestling.
Yes.
Responsible for Bloodsport and other things.
And other things, yes.
You know, pizza cutters and light tubes. How many followers would you think that they had?
I want to say it's got to be over 10,000.
That's a good guess. 36,400.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's get into double A. MLW, what do you think? Oh, I should put like Jeopardy music in here.
Man, let's say I said over 10.
Mm-hmm.
For GCW?
I will say that the numbers do go up and not down.
Yeah. I'm going to say 25.
You know what? Ironically, I would have thought much, much more, but yeah. 84,300.
That's a lot.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Until you get to the next one, Ring of Honor. Because when you generally think of who's the AA promotions,
yeah,
MLW and Ring of Honor, I think, are it.
Yeah.
So if MLW has 84,000, what do you think that Ring of Honor has?
84,000. Let's say 100,000.
391,000.
391,000.
Ring of Honor, nothing to shake a stick at. They're fantastic.
Yep. Been around for a very long time.
Not only do they have the internet, you know, they have 391,000 followers, but, you know, they are owned by what? Clear Channel or whatever it is?
Sinclair Broadcasting.
They're on a whole series of channels because not always the best time, you know, to be one of those things where you're up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
But who's in the world of having DVRs?
Yeah.
Who's staying up that way? I literally just set the DVR reminder for Ring of Honor 2 days before I came over here.
Or even, you know, Pluto TV. You wake up Saturday morning like, oh, shit, Ring of Honor is on.
Yep. And Future Stars of Wrestling will soon be on Pluto TV as well.
There we go. Get them numbers, son.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, we're going to get into the AAA here. The major leagues. AEW. How many Instagram followers do you think they have?
It's got to be over...
Their ratings this past week, I think I heard 1.16 million.
Nielsen
rating.
Let's say it's close to their viewers.
So their Instagram followers.
Yes.
1.4 million.
I was... there we go.
Right. Now, this is the point that I stressed to James. Because he's the one that said the WWE's in trouble.
I really feel like he's going to give one of us a black eye.
First of all.
I'm joking.
He would have to hug me to death. that's how close we are. But look, he was the one who stated, you know, like, man, they're in real trouble. And it's like, here's the point I was making.
Yep.
The WWE ain't in trouble. They're a publicly traded company. It's not like there's some sort of dollar amount that they'll drop to, you know, that they can't solve.
Right.
You know, they're not going to go out of business. They'll always be there.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter what their fucking rating is because their Instagram number, care to take a guess before I reveal it?
Go ahead and reveal it because you already told it to me. I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, and you remembered it? Okay. Yeah. 24.6 million.
That shatters their actual viewers, their actual rating.
Correct. And
by a long shot.
So
shatters.
Yeah, and not only that, like I said, AEW, 1.4 million. These guys, 24.6.
And 1.4 million, once again, is basically the number of people that view their show.
Correct. And so you can call yourself the demo god all you want. And I like Chris Jericho, but who are you fucking fooling?
Right.
You know, you can go on their network and for that Broken Skull session and be like, we ran NXT off. Did you really? Who gives a shit?
Right.
No one fucking cares but you. And look, I'm not even a fan of the WWE. I'm just putting the facts out there.
Yeah, man.
No one cares about these fucking ratings. You know, it just doesn't matter. What matters is if you're a fan of professional wrestling, I encourage you. Do the old beer sampling deal where they bring you out 10 little micro beers and you take a sip of each one and go, I like number two.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you right now, AEW is a far superior show.
Yep.
But the WWE, they got much better. They have a much further reach. I think even James had to admit, he said Snapchat, or I think it was Snapchat. Their two biggest number movers, NBA, WWE.
Yep.
That's all, not all, but that's what a lot of people are watching on there. They're catching up on WWE and NBA.
I used to be a member of the Nielsen's ratings. Did I ever tell that story on air?
You did.
Okay, not going to talk about it anymore. Other than the fact is that was at a point in time when YouTube was not a huge platform. That was at a point in time when, like, solid internet for streaming services and things like that. Netflix wasn't even a streaming service yet when I was a part of Nielsen ratings.
Right.
They were just a DVD mail company, which was really cool at the time. And I mean, honestly, man, like back then, I think it mattered more. Mm-hmm. But now we live in a whole entire another day and age, and people, they curate their own content, number one.
Right.
So people aren't flipping channels being bored, other than me the other day, because I just wanted to watch QVC because Christmas in July is on. But, you know,
wait a minute. I have to book time with you because you're so busy and you're at home watching QVC.
No, I was unpacking while watching QVC as a gag. But
while I was on vacation, I went to lie down in our hotel room and I put on you know, when you're in a hotel, you flip through these channels, even if you're in an exotic country, because we had like TNT and all this stuff. We were getting like the Miami feed.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't want to watch any of this shit because I don't know what it is.
Right.
Until I got to the channel that was strictly evangelical preaching.
Yes.
And little thing about me, I've got a doctorate in religion, son. I love listening to this shit because it's, with all due respect to people who believe in God and worship the fucking Bible, to me, it's fucking absolutely ridiculous. And I watched it as entertainment, just based on, you know, its value at presentation.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife took one look at me and went, what the fuck is this? And I went, it's hilarious.
Perfect. Perfect.
And I was not being ironic at all.
No.
I was like, this shit's funny.
It is funny. It absolutely is funny. And a lot of those big arena churches.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Well, that was the first thing I stopped at. I was like, holy shit, look at this Joel Olstein fella.
Yep.
He's filled an entire stadium. He must be saying something. Turns out he wasn't saying anything.
Yep, not at all. And, you know, I growing up, it's pretty well documented that I was sick growing up, and I had an upstairs neighbor. His name was Beto. He was one of my good friends.
Mm.
And his family was just very, very, very religious. And they actually took me to a religious healer because they were concerned about
Jesus.
Me. And I remember it was one of the most awkward experiences that I had in my life. And I went along with it because I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Did they do the Kaufman bit where they pulled the chicken gimmick out of your gizzards?
No, they more or less, like, the guy just grabbed me in an iron claw, shook my head, and said, all your problems are
done away with. Wow, you got the baptism treatment.
Yeah, man. And guess what? it didn't help anything.
No.
I still ended up having to get my lung hacked out.
Quick little caveat I want to say. I do believe in freedom of religion and in people's right to believe whatever it is that they want. And I don't hate you if you believe in these things.
Exactly.
I have friends that believe in dumb shit. Clearly, they didn't get vaccinated before they fucking tried to leave the country.
Deesh.
But yes, I do think it's silly. Anyway, carry on.
But no, I mean, that's basically the end of the story. So it's just, that stuff is fun.
I would like to take a few moments of your time and welcome you in. My name is Mr. Brody Lee, and I am the Exalted One of the Dark Order. And we, as a whole, understand that during these trying, unprecedented, anxious times, how you feel. I once was lost. I once was downtrodden. And I once was beaten down. But now I stand before you as the Exalted One. So I want you to now stand next to me.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Lee. Thank you. It's an honor.
It's Mr. Brody.
Yes, sir, Exalted One.
It's Mr. Brody. Tell the people what I told you to say.
We are one.
It is we are one. Please sit down.
Well, let me try to swing the conversation into a new direction.
Back into wrestling.
Well, and also I've burned all the topics I wanted to talk about, but... So you didn't watch any wrestling this week, despite the fact that there were crowds in there for the first time in a while. And it was an exciting week for live performing.
I caught just the regular Cliff Notes just because, like I said, my week was loaded. Like we ended up securing an apartment that we didn't think we were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not have an option of them holding it for us. And it was like, you can either get this done now or we're giving it to somebody else.
Yeah. So, and on top of that, a busy week. I mean, last night you defended the tag team championships and, you know.
Yeah. Against Midnight Heat, who are the current tag team champions for Defy out of Washington.
Oh, really?
Yes. Cool. I've known Ricky Gibson for a really long time. I worked with him in WCWC, and his tag partner, Precious Eddie Pearl, who is literally just Art Barr reincarnated. Like, I mean, my man is literally Art Barr, and it's absolutely amazing. We had a fantastic match, and thankfully we did retain the FSW Tag Team Championships,
mm-hmm.
and we're moving forward into August, which is going to be one of the busiest months in wrestling that I have had ever.
Right.
Like, and not even, I mean, even before the pandemic.
Is that when SummerSlam is coming?
Yep, SummerSlam's in town for sure.
Somebody asked me, because, you know, to all my friends, I'm the wrestling guy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm the only wrestling guy, because the two people I know who really like wrestling are you, and you're either wrestling on the damn card.
Yep.
Or, well, actually, let me ask you this. What is the etiquette? So let's say you weren't booked. You were completely free and had nothing to do. And I came to you and I said, hey, man, want to go to SummerSlam with me? What would you say?
Well, I know I'll be wrestling that day.
That's the point.
But if I wasn't, I'd absolutely go. 1,000%. Yeah.
Because I want to know the etiquette. Because, you know, it's like one of these things. Who's the guy who died from Beyond the Mat? You know, I'm not booked, brother.
Oh, Dennis Stamp.
Yeah.
Yes. The trampoline, man. You never know when you get the call.
That's right.
I'm not booked, Terry.
But that's the point. He said, like, come to the show. It was a quote-unquote retirement show. And he's like, please come to the show. It mean a lot to me if you're there. And the only thing he would say is, I'm not booked.
Yeah.
That's why I wonder what the etiquette is. Like, do you want to be, is it socially okay for you to take the position of Mark? Pardon the expression.
And here's for me. And I've been doing a lot more in town because there is a period of time when I was only paying attention to what was going on at Future Stars of Wrestling in Las Vegas.
Right.
There's also Big Valley Wrestling in Las Vegas. There's also recently the Super Beast training compound, which runs multiple shows that different wrestlers host. Mm-hmm. That's in Las Vegas now. And then you also have Versus Pro Wrestling, which is in Las Vegas. And there was a long period of time when I only paid attention to what was going on at FSW because my responsibility was to FSW. But now, because I'm not necessarily a free agent, but I am offering my services to everyone in town now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be wrestling Fresco-matic, who is the Big Valley fighting champion, at a Big Valley show that will be soon to be announced. I will end up wrestling for the Super Beast Training Academy. I'm doing Ketz Pro as another promotion. There's so many things happening in Vegas.
Ketz.
K-E-T-S. Ketz Pro.
I like the sound of Catch Pro. Like, Catch that's Pro. That's a promotion I get behind just based on the name.
Yeah, maybe that's our promotion.
Oh, yeah, let's fucking get a money man and get this shit working.
I'm searching for one as we speak.
Yeah,
so,
Catch Pro.
Yeah, God, man.
Damn it.
So I go to shows from time to time, and I'll always offer my opinions and my feedback, and I offer assistance and help.
Right, but let me ask you this. You're on one side of the curtain, though.
Yes.
Would you ever fucking buy a ticket and sit in the front row?
Sit in the front row at a major wrestling company and buy a ticket?
At any show.
I always buy tickets for the indie shows. Right. And I always at least attempt to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get stopped. And other times they take my money. Like, right. Because I'm there to support. Right. Yeah.
It's the same thing with me. You know, I know what it's like to be the vaudeville act, and I always, to a certain extent, overpay
you know,
for anything, because I know what people are getting paid here, and I want to make sure that they get their cut.
My money is going to go somewhere, right?
Right.
Like, and I want to make sure that I'm not just, I never walk into a building and I'm like, oh, you know who I am.
Right.
Of course they know who I am, and I'm there to help them. Like, and, you know, it was actually funny that you mentioned that, because there was a kid who came down here, whose name I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to mention where he's from, but he was a wrestler who came out of state, mm-hmm. and was expecting to possibly get on the card. And Joe DeFalco at Future Stars of Wrestling, the promoter of Future Stars of Wrestling, he overbooks his shows.
Right.
And he does that because we have a school. And he's doing his best to make sure that the students at the school are getting their participation.
Well, they're getting in-ring time.
Yeah, and it's important,
even
too.
If it's only a little bit,
yeah.
You need to get some in-ring time.
And for anyone that's listening to this, listen to me. Papa Joe tries to take care of you. So that's the reason why our nights run a little bit long.
Right.
So please be thankful and don't whine, moan, or complain about it. And this kid who came, he drove from out of state to this show,
mm-hmm.
and instead of watching any matches, he just sat on the wall in the back, and he didn't watch any matches. He helped set up and he helped tear down, but he didn't watch any matches. And for me, I love wrestling. I want to watch
matches.
Where
can you watch? Is there monitors?
There's monitors in the back. There's monitors in the office, and he would have also been more than welcome to watch in the stands.
Maybe he was just doing the old locker room gimmick. Hey, brother, sit in the corner and shut your mouth, that deal.
Yeah, well, I personally, like, I've never done that type of thing. Like, right. I would, and if I ever see him again, I'll give him that advice. Like, hey, man, like, you know, like, watch the show. Right. You know, see something that you like, see something that you don't, you know, and participate in what's happening. You know, like, that's, to me, like, watching matches. And I always try to watch every match before I go on.
Right.
In the back, one, because if they do something that's in my brain, I get that out of my brain.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you can't go out there doing the same shit that the people before you did. Not to mention, it's a good way to read the room.
Yeah.
They're popping for this. They're not popping for that.
That's a whole nother reason why I do that, too. Right. And for me, that's, like, the most important thing. And then, like, there's people that I will see that they do something like, oh, man, that was a really good idea. I could switch, twist, manipulate and make that something for me too.
This really should, because people forget, because professional wrestling is such an individually minded endeavor.
Yeah.
People forget that people have paid money to see a show.
Yes.
And let's say you went to see, I don't know, improv. You paid money to see an improv show.
Yeah.
And in the third sketch, you know, they do something that involves a baseball bat or a wiffle ball bat, we'll say. And then in the fifth sketch, somebody pulls out a wiffle ball bat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, and a lot of these young people need to be reminded, hey, this isn't just some shit you need to do to get over in your match, brother. You need to be paying attention to the entire show.
Oh, no, but their artistic vision, though.
Yeah, well, but that's a point. Great, I want you to be artistic, but everyone can't throw fucking super kicks.
Right.
You know, I like super kicks, they're fine.
Yep.
But if the high spot in your match that you're hoping to do is like, oh, I'm going to throw a super kick, and then you're in match five, and in match three, a guy fucking runs a high spot where he throws a super kick.
Yeah.
Brother, you need to start thinking of something else.
You know,
or you need to talk to that person before the show.
D'Lo Brown actually has a good story because he has been agent for Impact for quite some time, and he's heavily involved with Future Stars of Wrestling.
Right.
And he tells a story about how there was an X Division match where these guys were calling their match in front of Naomichi Marufuji.
Right.
Who... Naomichi Marufuji, for those who do not know, feel free to look him up, is one of the most prolific junior heavyweight wrestlers within, I would say, the last 20 years. And he's still going very strong. And he has...
Where is he at?
Pro Wrestling Noah. So, and he's absolutely amazing. And he does spots about everywhere. He's been in New Japan, All Japan, all those companies, but Noah is his home promotion.
Right.
And there is a specific rope run follow through that he does that is known as the Marufuji because he invented it.
Right.
And these guys are calling their match literally in front of Naomichi Marufuji, the person that invented the Marufuji follow run, shadow run, as it is. And D'Lo had to like go and remind these six people like, hey, you do realize that the person that made that is sitting right in front of you.
And he might want to use it.
He's on the card tonight and you can be sure as shit that he's going to use that. But then you have other people that have different opinions. Mm-hmm. I remember Bubba Ray Dudley reamed my ass one time because I tapped out a babyface in a match and he didn't agree for Hills to tap out babyfaces in a match. And then I told him, well, you know, my other finisher is a diamond cutter and I didn't do that because you're on the card tonight and you're actually going to be giving someone a cutter through a table. And he looked at me and told me that he didn't give a shit.
Well, hey, look, to be fair to him.
Yeah, man.
There's a reason why that's been the way things have gone for generations.
Yeah.
It's hard. You can at least sympathize with a guy who's an old school cat.
Of course.
I understand why that is.
Yeah.
But this is my thing.
Right.
But I mean, I don't know. If I were in your shoes, I would have said, okay, let me figure out a different finish. It doesn't have to be my finisher, brother, right. brother.
And I did figure out a different finish, but it also in my defense.
What did you use?
I used a crossface, but
so you submitted them anyway.
Yeah.
So you didn't do a different finish.
Well, no, my original finish was a diamond cutter and
the point is,
because he was on the card.
Right.
And I decided to use a crossface instead.
Right.
Yes.
But you're not supposed to tap out baby faces. I'll explain. You're not in general in booking. You don't want to make your baby's faces look like a pussy. And
right.
It's one thing for them to be knocked unconscious. Wink, wink.
Yes.
It's another thing for them to give up.
But here's another thing, though, is that, and this is my defense to that argument, which I would love to tell them next time I see them, is...
Well, why would you argue with Bubba Ray Dudley?
It's not an argument. It's a statement.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
It's Let's a statement. It. In today's day and age, with mixed martial arts
right.
and everything else, people tap out.
Right.
It's a submission.
You'll get no argument out of me. Right. But like I said, in our fantasy promotion, Catch Pro.
Yes.
People will be losing to all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And all it will take is a simple promo after the fact, behind the scenes. Oh, yeah, here comes Babyface Jack or whatever the fuck his name is.
Right.
Yeah, you tapped out there and the guy fucking, I made one mistake and he got a hold of me. And I'll guarantee you, we're going to fucking go at it again.
Yeah.
And I won't be making the same mistake twice. That's all it would take.
And this time I'm going to tap you out.
Correct. And that's all it would take to completely undo any sort of bad vibes that that person might have accrued by tapping out in a simple scenario.
Right. And I'm not disrespecting anybody.
But absolutely. Yeah. But like I say, I understand why Bubba Ray Dudley would say no, because that's the way it's been for 100 years.
Right.
On the other hand, and this is why I've talked about in the past, if I were running my own promotion, I would try to do something new. And because pro wrestling, the business model that we know, was really developed in the 1930s by the Gold Dust Trio. And they have not updated it since. It's only slowly evolved. It needs to be updated because the reason why it was invented or updated in the first place by the Gold Dust Trio is because they had to compete against a new sport called boxing.
Yep.
And it was much easier for people to understand someone being punched in the face than the mild minutia of an ankle lock.
Yes.
Right? Now we live in a world where boxing's not a big deal, but guess what? There's a new sport.
And it's called mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts, which is exactly what pro wrestling is doing.
Yes.
Someone with the wherewithal and the cheddar really needs to reinvent it for a new style of promotion.
Right.
In a world to reinvent the rules that we've come to understand so that a promotion exists in a world where mixed martial arts exists.
Right.
You know, because right now all the promotions from single A to triple A, they exist and they pretend that mixed martial arts don't.
Right. And that's a shame because, and that's the thing too, is you and me have talked about it on air before and we've talked about it off air, is that our flavor of ice cream is realism. Like I said, not to harp too much on the topic, but going back.
We're not being negative here.
Yeah, not at all. But going back to just like the etiquette of, don't do something that somebody else does. Like it for me, I follow that for myself because I want to stand out on cards.
Well, that's kind of the point. That's the reason why. You would think
that would be the point.
Right. Well, it's two things. Yeah. One, you want to be an individual and you got to, you know, the problem is that the industry is laden with theft.
Yes.
You know, but the other is, hey, this is a show that the promoter is putting together because, you know, it's not just your match. There's, you know, 8 matches here and we can't have all 8 matches end in disqualification.
Right.
So we need to come up with different finishes and different things. And, you know, we can't have, you know, just to go back to the well, you know, these 2 finishes are super kick.
Right.
You know, that's stupid.
Right. And it's unfortunate too, because you have people that are really stubborn, number one, that don't want to listen to that advice.
Right.
And then you have people that just are flat out ignorant to the fact that that's the way that you should be doing proper business.
Right.
And that's one of those things. I think for myself, I want more people to think like that because then it makes me stand out as an individual. So y'all want to keep on doing the same shit, feel free.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be doing anything that you're doing, guaranteed.
Right.
Like, absolutely.
Well, guaranteed. I forgive the transgressions of the young, particularly at the single A level. All these young kids, they go out there and they know what they can do, or they know what they can do, and they do what they know.
Yeah,
because there ain't anything else, you know. So I understand if they're replicating stuff because they just don't know a whole lot, you know. At a certain point, though, you know, I think you really have to be a student of the game.
There's a lot to learn.
Like,
going back to talking about watching...
I wonder if most people can name all the styles.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just the styles of pro wrestling.
Not only the styles, but I mean, like, if you could tell me, like, two different names for a front neck lock, if you could tell me three different names for a front neck lock,
right,
I would be impressed. And that's a thing, too, is that you do have to be a student of the game, and there's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
That's why, did we talk about this on the air about how I've been watching old Lucha? The reason I've been watching...
At the very beginning.
Yeah, in the very beginning. The reason I've been watching old Lucha specifically is because I've always been highly critical of Lucha.
Me too.
And I was extremely curious. And like, I don't know if I remember it being like this. And I went back and I was watching like really old stuff.
And the really old stuff, it's obviously much, much different.
It's so much different in the way of holds. They have a heavy emphasis on chain, and they also work both sides.
Right.
They work both the left and the right. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to bring this not only to the wrestling school, but I need to bring this for myself because nobody's doing stuff like this right now.
We need to do a special where we just sit and watch El Santo versus the Wolfman or Frankenstein or whatever.
Yes. Mystery Science Theater, that shit.
You know what I'd also like to do? I'd also like to do a theatrical reading of, you know, because you could probably find like a leaked script from Raw.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to just read it like a, you know, how, you know, when before they make a movie, they go, we're going to have a script read through. And the whole cast sits down. They go, I think you, me, and James Mattern and whoever else we can get come in, cast it, and then actually execute a Raw script.
That would be fucking hilarious. Oh my goodness. That's now I'm almost upset that you said it on air because now you kind of spoiled it for when it happens, but it's going
to
happen.
All right, folks. Yep. Look forward to that in the future.
I really feel like that's one of those things. There's another guy on the UK scene named Dean Allmark. Mm-hmm. And I believe that his Instagram handle is Dean Allmark Wrestling Systems. And if you want to see some really fucking innovative, unique, and brilliant European escapism, he's absolutely amazing. You know, like Tyson Dukes, we've talked about him before.
Right.
If you were in the game, subscribe to his YouTube channel. He does absolutely amazing videos. He explains things in a way that anyone could be able to understand as long as they're not a dimwit.
Yeah, and it's not specific to pro wrestling. It's about using real escapes out of legitimate holds.
Correct.
And I'm of the opinion, you know, I wonder if there's a shoot, if it would ever be possible of a blood sport type of professional wrestling promotion where guys, you can develop a style of pro wrestling. This is probably completely ridiculous, but you can develop a style of pro wrestling where two guys who never talk behind the scenes get into a ring together and basically have like a soft style shoot where I get you in this hold and you have the knowledge and the know-how to get out of it in two different ways. And, you know, it leads to this, which I then reverse in one of my two ways. And it leads to this, and, you know, where you could just run an entire match without... Is this making any sense?
It is. Like you're
until you execute the finish that is required of you. But
right.
But ultimately, you know, coming up with a, well, like I say, some sort of soft shoot where you have a knowledge of how to get out of any sort of, you know, predicament in one or two ways, so that when someone gets you in it, you can instinctively sell it and then move on to something else.
Yeah. And I think that style, like, once again, like, Bloodsport is for you. Bloodsport is definitely for you.
It is for me, but having said that, if you recall that last pay-per-view that we saw, the first handful of matches, it was very clear that those people were very green. They were not accustomed to throwing... Just some people shouldn't throw fucking punches.
Right. You know. Yeah, I was one of those people. It took me years to learn how to throw a punch.
Right.
A pro wrestling punch.
Right.
Years. All I did was throw forearms because my punches, I just couldn't.
I wonder how they do that now because, I mean, I think I remember hearing Ric Flair, he tied a piece of string to his doorway, to the roof, like the ceiling of his doorway, and would every day he would throw a punch at it until he can get it where that piece of string would not move.
Yeah. There's a bunch of different ways that you can do it, but ultimately every way that you go about it, you have to find out what your reach is.
You're right.
Yeah, you have.
It's also a fucking moot point anyway, because fucking punching should be illegal, yeah, and forearms aren't. God damn it. Yep.
And but once again, like look at the evolution, baby, of the industry, is that I think that now that everyone's in on it, people don't care so much anymore about the protection or trying to hide a punch behind a referee's back. And
well, you say people.
Yeah.
But look, I'm just some average guy and I'm willing to play along. But, you know, I remember I think it was an episode of Raw. Somebody just jumped on the other person and just started throwing full punches. And the ref, it's hard to explain this so that listeners can understand it, but the ref stood there and he didn't stay there. He got sort of in a, you know, the wrestler ready position, mm-hmm. left foot forward. And he looked like he was trying to dodge the punches. He had his hands up next to his face and he was going, oh, oh, oh. It's like, buddy, if this is legal, why do anything? Who gives a shit?
You know?
He's essentially trying to emote that I'm watching to make sure this person can still defend themselves.
Right.
You know, but it's so ridiculous because it's like they should be illegal for a couple of reasons. One, heels can still cheat. It still works. I don't care what anybody says.
No, it absolutely does.
And two, fuck it. Forget it. I don't know why I got to beat this fucking dead horse every week. Make some shit illegal.
Yeah. Right. Well, but once again, like we talked about it a little bit in the Rollerball Rocco episode, when it comes to the intricacies and complicated rule set of European wrestling, mm-hmm. it's all built to get maximum reactions right. out of heels doing shitty things to baby faces.
Right.
Like that's what all of that is for. That's what it's designed for. That's where it belongs. And it does work. And it's so funny to me, man, because
you know what the ultimate psychology. Shitty thing to do to a baby face is?
Hmm.
Tap them out.
Yeah, you're hey. Goddamn right.
I had to write this memo the other day, and I was looking for a quote, just something that would encapsulate somebody like Brody Lee, and I came across this Samuel Johnson quote. I probably will butcher it, but I think you'll understand it. It says, "You can judge a man's character by how he treats somebody who can do him no good." Over the past week, we've heard all these stories of all these different people, these degrees of separation who were positively affected by Brody Lee. There has never been a wrestler in every company, in every locker room, with every member of management, to have that one-to-one connection, and that's why everyone is affected so deeply. In short, he was a beautiful man.
Let me ask this, and then we're going to end the show.
Okay.
Because some weeks ago, I declared out loud, I said, hey, you know, there's a few free agents out there. And boy, I'll tell you, if all these people happen to go to some place, it could turn the tide very seriously.
Yep.
One was Samoa Joe. we know where he went.
How crazy.
The other two.
Yeah.
The American Dragon, Brian Danielson, who the three people I named, I'm a huge fan of all three.
Yes.
But American Dragon, Brian Danielson, better known as Daniel Bryan. And the other, CM Punk. And the word on the street is, and I've heard people complaining, like, oh, they shouldn't, whatever, fuck you. the word on the street is, maybe going to AEW. And mister, I'll tell you what, if that goes down, I might not ever watch WWE ever again.
Well, and so we're in a situation right now to where, like you said, AEW has silently...
Buddy, I know you're trimmed. A pro wrestler and you don't like watching pro wrestling all the time.
It's not that I don't like watching it.
Well, it's
I do watch it all the time, but it's just not weekly.
Well, it's like me. I used to work at a movie theater when I was a teenager. At a certain point, you get sick of fucking eating popcorn all the time.
I don't know how you get sick of eating popcorn, man.
Yeah, but eat a garbage bag of it a day.
Absolutely. I get it. I understand it.
But the point is you should start watching AEW.
Because absolutely.
The show is good.
I'm looking forward to it because, like I said, man, like I can now watch it, and it's not for lack of effort. It's because I've had no way to watch it.
Oh, right. Because you're normally busy.
Yeah.
Doing wrestling stuff on Wednesday nights.
And now
you can DVR
it. Yeah. Not only can I DVR it, I've already got my plan mapped out for Wednesday. Wednesdays, wake up, go to the gym. After that, make some money. After that, watch some wrestling.
And I've declared recently that I'm going to start watching AEW. And then after watching this past week, I was like, God damn, that's the best wrestling show I've seen in probably, I don't know, short of New Japan. It's the best American wrestling show that I'd seen in a while.
If they do get Punk, and if they get Danielson, even if they get one of them.
Right.
Right? Imagine they only get one. Whatever one it is, it's going to be turning WWE on its ear. Right? Because that's going to be big, big, big news.
Very big news, because they're the two biggest beloved fans who were organically made.
Yes.
That have gone to another location almost simultaneously.
Not to mention that look at...
They might not be as big as John Cena or Roman Reigns, quite honestly, because those are Mickey Mouse's. They're corporate icons, right?
But could they be...
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Because, and this all goes back to those numbers that I brought up before. One company is a corporate powerhouse with a reach that goes around the world.
Yeah.
And has 24 point, whatever it was. I closed the book.
A metric fuck ton.
It has 24 million followers.
Yep.
That appeal to people. You know, I've heard people go like, I love sports entertainment. And I go, what? You know,
are you not sports entertained?
And then there are people who are wrestling fans. And, you know, according to AEW, there's 1.4 million of them.
Yeah.
With Punk and Danielson, they can get those numbers up a lot.
Well, I was just about to mention that.
But they can't get them up to 24 point whatever million.
But they're not. So imagine this. The numbers are going to go up.
Yeah.
If it does happen, the numbers will go up for one.
Right.
For both.
Watch out.
Yeah. And if they do that.
People forget. Let me say this. Sorry to interrupt. People forget Punk's impact.
Right.
Literally, the WWE had not been water cooler talk in a decade until that pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Sorry to use the term. I'm sure he's sick of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's heard it a billion times, you know. But that particular moment at the Thomas and Mack in Las Vegas was so important. It was essentially Nirvana made music for an entire generation without saying, we're making music for an entire generation. None of their lyrics were literally about teenage spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They were mostly nonsensical and poetic.
Yep.
They never said, we're making teenage music, but it spoke to teenagers.
Sit and drink Pinerol tea.
Yeah.
I have very bad posture.
CM Punk, without saying professional wrestling is has become a fucking load of shit, although I think he mildly hinted at it, has essentially inspired an entire generation of fans who in a decade were completely abandoned, all of a sudden started watching wrestling again, including myself.
Yeah.
I fucking hated 2001 to 2011. I hated it.
Yep.
And I've essentially been watching ever since then, and I know a lot of people like me.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So imagine that creative force.
Yep.
Hopefully, not burning any, you know, because he could be abrasive, and you know, he's had a fucking lawsuit with someone there.
Yep.
But hopefully, if things can go well, and it's a happy environment for him to be in, Mister, he will print them money.
And not only that, but look at everybody else who is self-made in AEW. Like AEW was built by self-made people. Kenny Omega was self-made.
Right.
He decided to find a way to get himself into Japan.
With all due respect to WWE, Cody Rhodes didn't become Cody Rhodes until he hit the indies.
No, not at all.
Because he was fucking Stardust for a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Young Bucks made themselves.
Yep.
So, and you can be critics of them. You can be supporters of them. You can be naysayers. You cannot deny the fact that they pulled something off.
Is there anything? I'm sorry, I was going to cut you off because I like the way that sounded, but how do you want to finish up on Bryan Danielson and Punk? How do you feel?
I hope it happens. And here's why I hope it happens, because I don't want to take the piss out of WWE.
Right.
I want people to give a fuck about wrestling again. That's really what I want in my heart of hearts. I want to be able to be proud of the fact that I'm involved in an industry that people love, admire, and genuinely and truly appreciate.
Turnbuckle Boogie is a Devo Looter production and is produced by TJ Fogarty and Cody Hancock, with music and web production by Timothy Styles. If you're interested in booking or information on Cutthroat Cody, please go to cutthroatcody.com and follow us on Instagram @TurnbuckleBoogie. See you next Monday.